Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of down and dirty maintenance hacks. Joining me in the studio is Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, Nicole Curl, Director of Multifamily at Lexington Group, and Izzy Garza, National Account Manager with Maintenance Supply Headquarters. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Hello.
Thanks for having us.
So, Stephanie, let's define what we're talking about today with down and dirty maintenance hacks. What does that encompass?
Sure. You know, from a maintenance perspective, which is, I think that the most important part of what we can do is maintain an asset and make sure that our residents are taken care of. You know, the number one reason why people leave is bad management and bad maintenance, right? Mm-hmm. So today we want to kind of put it in different buckets in terms of operational procedures we can do to be more effective from a maintenance perspective, managing those people better, managing those processes better, maybe some actual tasks. Nicole's really going to help us with that and make sure that we have some actual tasks that we can help you with your maintenance team to make sure that they're doing things better in a better way. That's the hack capability of what mm-hmm. we're doing. And then we also want to talk about like managing your property from a non-crisis management mode. If we were to manage based on what the exceptions are, then we're maybe not going to be managing that well. So we're going to talk a little bit about enforcement, habitability, codes, all that good stuff to consider when you're buying an asset and running an asset.
Okay. And so what's the number one step?
Well, I think we should probably start with maybe operations and kind of corporate, kind of setting up that structure. Mm-hmm. You know, software is important, making sure you have the tools necessary to log information. I think Nicole has some good insight on starting that process to make sure you're doing the right things when you're actually having the maintenance request entered or brought to the office.
Right. So, I mean, it's really important that we document everything. It's often been said if we didn't write it down, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with everything that we do on a property. If we're going to replace a part, if we're going to install something new in an apartment, that should be recorded in detail, not just that the service guy did a refrigerator repair, but the model number, the serial number of that specific refrigerator in that specific apartment to make sure it's assigned there.
So what you're saying is writing done on the maintenance request isn't necessarily the most effective way.
Done, complete, finished. If I see finished on a ticket, you're finished.
Yes, done. Okay, great. And then the leasing agent just enters it in, right? Done. Mm-hmm. So what are some things you've done? Like,
The softwares nowadays have a lot of reoccurring tickets, and a lot of people don't like to do it because they don't like to close out that many work orders, and then they're always sending these automatic updates to the residents. But I think it's really important that we do reoccurring tickets so that we can justify the existence of our staff to begin with. If you're paying somebody 40 hours a week and I'm only seeing 10 hours of service requests, there's a big disconnect. What are they doing all day? Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people are resistant to that because, well, everybody knows, you know, I'm cleaning grounds, I'm doing the pool, I'm organizing the shop. Well, not everybody knows that. In fact, most ownership and investors have no idea what it takes to run a property, and we need to be the educators. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be condescending and be like, duh, don't you know? We're the educators. We're, you know, our maintenance guys in that situation are the experts, and it's important to document what we do.
Yeah, from an operations standpoint, we see that a lot with, you know, when times get tough and we have to cut expenses here and there, we're really, you know, we produce those ticket requests, right? Those reports that say how many tickets they did, and they're doing 10 tickets in a week, and we've only turned one apartment, and you've got two maintenance guys on property. That's really hard from an operational standpoint to justify that. you know, we have to fill in those blanks as, okay, wait, no, they did clean the pool and it takes an hour to do the garbage and an hour to do that. So documenting is instrumental in what we do. And we're all guilty of it. I mean, I go on properties now and I'm like, okay, so how many tickets did he do? Why am I looking at 10 tickets for the week? So I think that's really important from an operational standpoint if we can get that done.
Yeah, it's surprising to me because I've dealt with some clients that one where they had done partial work on a property and they had no record of the units they went into. And then another property that we went to for a different client, they did partial work and they kept it on an Excel spreadsheet. But it wasn't anything that was an official software that, that they could just pull up a report out of that software. And I think, are you finding that people are not adapting or adopting those softwares across the board like you would hope they would?
I think in some small isolated situations, they may not have the current software, but I really believe it's that they don't know how to use it. They're not well trained. They get the basics down from leasing and traffic, and this is how you enter a service request, this is how you close it. That's pretty much it. Anything deeper than that, they forget because they've only been taught once. And so I think a lot of times, you know, training gets thrown out the window and we don't really know. We don't get to utilize the full capability of the software programs we have. Most of those software programs will take an appliance, an AC unit, whatever, and it becomes an actual asset of the property and I can assign it to a unit. And that's really important. I think from the flip side, if we're looking at invoices and I purchased 20 refrigerators, but I don't show 20 new refrigerators in my service request, that leads the owner to believe we're furnishing our own homes.
Yeah, and I, you know, Izzy, from a supplier perspective, I think is, I'm certain that you get calls sometimes with, hey, what did I order? Hey, right?
That happens all the time. And, you know, from us, we try to, I think a good vendor should have that information, document it, serial numbers. A lot of times when you place these orders, you can put unit numbers. And once we deliver it, you know, we do offer services where possibly if you're doing rehabs or renovations where we can deliver a unit. But if that's not an option, you know, yeah, we need to do it our end, the best record we can as far as invoicing when we do those things so that you at least have something.
Yeah.
Well, knowing where it goes to.
And I know for a fact because I recommended Izzy and Maintenance Supply Headquarters to a client recently for some dishwashers, and they were very impressed because there was a new manager on site and she had no idea what had been done. Very impressed with the report that your account rep gave to her, Izzy, that showed exactly what they had purchased and when it was purchased, and she was able to then figure out what she needed to do to go forward. Didn't have the unit numbers on there, obviously, because you didn't install them. But that
partnership's important.
Yeah, very, very important.
You know, well, making sure you have multifamily providers and not just ordering from Amazon.com. You know what I mean? So making sure you have those partnerships because they're the professionals that do this. So if you're at a lack of knowledge or a lack of experience, calling on people that have done this before and not recreating the wheel and using those resources that are multifamily providers, they know, they've seen this before, right? This is not their first show. They've seen the struggles that people with turnover have. And so they can kind of help you with that process.
We get a lot of requests for audits and say, hey, we need a history report. We need to know what this property's been buying. Let's say that there's product missing. We can provide that reporting, and that's really important, especially when you're trying to get to the nitty-gritty and the details of what the property's spending and the overall health of a property. You know, so over time, whether it's a short period of time or an extended period of time, you can have that reporting. It's really important to look at that reporting, not just use it to audit, but, you know, maybe for next year, budgeting. What do you want to do? What did we spend? What's the focus for next year? So, yeah, that's really important. I think any owner who ever asked for that is entitled to have that information. We want to make sure we provide it.
Yeah, well, with consistent ordering, it's important too, right? Like, not only that, but if we see owners sometimes that order from multiple sources because whatever's on sale is great.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're running down to Home Depot and they're getting this light and then they're calling Maintenance Supply when that's on sale. And so that level of inconsistency, even in your operations from that standpoint, is very challenging. Mm-hmm. Because how do you repair something that you don't know? I don't even know what the brand of the faucet is. So how do I repair that faucet? I can't. Right. I'm ordering a new faucet. And so was there a savings there initially? Sometimes, you know, what do they call it? A penny pound foolish, penny, whatever that is. pennies and pounds foolish.
Penny wise, pound foolish.
There you go. Pounds and pennies. So, you know, those kind of things really come to flourish in multifamily.
I remember this one story, Steph, that I'll share with you guys real quick. It was at a property management company that they had a site that was about 225 units around there. It wasn't huge, wasn't big. And they wanted a history report of all the faucets that they bought over a two-year period because they wanted to see what they were buying. And they, you know, from their standpoint, they wanted to keep it consistent and kind of see what they were spending when I did the report. And I handed it to them. I was a little anxious because I didn't know how she was going to react. And she noticed that there were 45 different faucets that were purchased at one property over a period of 2 years. And I say that story because there was so much inconsistency. One property manager would buy this, and then the maintenance technician saw, well, you know what, that's a great one. And every unit that they put in, it was so different. It was inconsistent. And then we need a part. Well, hey, we need this, we need that. Well, I don't know what faucet it is because I bought 45 different ones over the past 2 years. So, yeah, you're definitely right. I mean, from that standpoint, when you're managing what you spend, the best way to do it is to keep a level of consistency, and good supplier-vendor partners like MSH can help with that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, Izzy, you were going to say that when you ran the report, it was a 225-unit property, but there were 1,200 faucets bought in the last 2 years.
Well, that would raise the eyebrow. No, yeah. But when you think about it, I mean, you're trying to be consistent from unit to unit. Every unit should sort of look the same. And when you have 45 different faucets that were purchased over a two-year period,
yeah,
I don't know what to say.
All right. We're going to take a break and be back after these brief messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of down and dirty maintenance hacks. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, Nicole Curl, director of multifamily of Lexington Group, and Izzy Garza, National Account Manager with Maintenance Supply Headquarters. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to let our listeners know if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. We went to the break, but Nicole, you had something you wanted to piggyback on that Izzy was discussing.
Right, just like we discussed earlier, if we don't understand the full capabilities of the software that we're using and we don't utilize all the tools that are given to us, we have a lot of partners out there, including Maintenance Supply, that can do a lot more for us to prevent that exact situation that Izzy was referring to, having 45 different faucets. if ownership and management runs with the ball and makes an executive decision that these are the products that we're using, then maintenance supply can lock that down in a catalog for that property and not allow any other types to be purchased. But it's the responsibility of ownership and management to enforce that. It can't be our partner's responsibility to discipline our own employees.
Mm-hmm. And Izzy, I know on that same property where that I referred the dishwashers to, there was a situation for the client where they had some financing that required them to make some changes to the flow rates on some of the faucets and so forth. And one of the flow rates that they required on the kitchen faucets was not compatible with the upgraded faucets that they were putting into the units, and they'd only put in about 20 of them so far. And so I spoke with the account rep from Maintenance Supply Headquarters, and I said, this isn't going to work based on the financing. And she said, well, this is what was agreed to, so we need to go back to the team at the clients and get them to approve a different one. So they do have those programs in place, and it's good that there's somebody looking out for it, because the people at the property had no idea that was something that was a corporate decision.
That unfortunately is a failure on a lot of, and myself included, being in that role, making those corporate level decisions and not making everyone on the team aware down to the property manager.
Unfortunately, there's people changing positions, and you know, everybody goes through the efforts of making everybody aware, and then the managers move from one property to the next, and they may not be aware, or they bring in somebody new, and so it's a constant I think issue that's got to be tackled. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, let's talk a little bit about training and what's involved in that.
Sure. I mean, you know, training the team from top to bottom is important, making sure that when someone in the office gets a ticket, they know how to report it accurately. They can describe it to the maintenance team effectively so that they can do their job better. And then maintenance knows how to report that in a way that the on-site, you know, the office team can make sure that they're getting the information that they need, the time that they spent on the ticket, if they used any supplies, if maybe another work order was done when they were in the apartment. All of those are instrumental in making sure that we're logging that and we're training our team efficiently. And then the checks and balances at the upper level for that. What is the supervisor looking at? What are they having to report? If you have a water filtration system or a water requirements per the loan agreement, how are you making sure that each unit is doing that? So training internally is important. So making sure you're setting up those standards and then utilizing your partnerships. You know, I know Nicole does some great maintenance training, and there's resources available to make sure that our teams are trained, not necessarily from a software perspective, but for the skills needed and the reporting needed to get those things done. You know, there's CAMT training with HAA. So partnering with your partners to make sure that they can get free training, or finding something that you know is lacking. You know, I'll use an example that I think all of us struggle with, sheetrock repair. You know what I mean? Like finding someone that can actually teach every member of my team how to do effective sheetrock repair is important.
Mm-hmm. What have you done with training, Nicole?
I train on all levels, but I think it's important to have the maintenance and the management have some of the same basic knowledge, because a manager, in order to effectively manage their property, they need to understand at least the basics of what a maintenance guy does. Now, they might not be able to go out there and do it themselves, but they're going to know, you know, their radar is going to go off if this is incorrect information, or maybe they made a bad decision and that's really going to cause a problem later. They need to have some idea. But at the same point in time, because they don't have the technical knowledge, they need to look at it from the maintenance point of view. A lot of times our maintenance guys are very resourceful, and they can come up with all kinds of things, all kinds of hacks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But from a manager's standpoint, it's a big neon sign that says liability. Mm-hmm. So we need to balance those two things, and that requires a lot of cross-training together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and educating the time frames too. Is it worth having maintenance do something that's going to take 3 hours of their time when maybe it would be a little bit more expensive to contract that out, but you can use him on 50 tickets? And, you know, that balance between it. And I think sometimes managers get in the office and forget about the other parts of what they do. and making sure that they're, you know, almost forcing your people to spend a day with maintenance and figure out what they're doing. Because sometimes, you know, like Nicole said, they're resourceful almost to a fault.
Right.
I've walked into places and I'm like, what do you mean you did this? He's like, well, I had to get it fixed and we didn't have the part. And I'm like, oh, God. Okay. Let's figure out how we backtrack into this. But if you don't get out of the office and you don't do that, you know, obviously, and you may have hacks you want to teach them.
Yeah.
I would say about 50% of my maintenance for managers in the first two sections, I go through pictures of what's wrong here. 50% of what's wrong here is a maintenance guy trying to be resourceful. Yes. It's not because he's a bad guy.
Right.
It's just he's trying to do the best with what he has. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he doesn't have that management perspective. He has the fix-it perspective.
Yes.
And so I think we need to share those perspectives.
I think it's one of those things where we have to marry both sides. And sometimes one side's not telling the other side one thing, vice versa. And there's just a miscommunication of what really is the job and task that we need to do. And it's not being communicated in a way that is, you know, effective. So, you know, that's really important. What Nicole is saying is finding ways that you can not just train, but that everybody knows somewhat of that position, that person, what he's doing. So if he's not there, at least they have some familiarity as far as like, hey, I got an idea how to get corrected today. Let's do it.
Yeah. I think, you know, I always like to make a list when we're talking about this of the things at the end that we can go over. And every time we do a show, it's expectations and communication, right?
Exactly.
Setting the expectations of what's acceptable behavior, not acceptable behavior, you know, is duct tape appropriate in this instance, or is not duct, is the new flex tape appropriate? Like what's the appropriate way and what is acceptable on this property and this asset and what's not acceptable, making sure that, and it's not just a one-time meeting, it's expectations and communication all the time. And everyone is guilty of let's just get it done and not necessarily making sure that those expectations are clear. But I think from a training perspective, you know, we need to do that. And again, I'll go back to that utilizing the partners. You know, many partners, Leslie's Pools, and provide free training. Well, they'll come out and show you how to do things, but you also have to ask.
Yes.
You know, there's been many times where I've said, you know, we don't get this. Could you please come out here and show me why this isn't working? Vendors that provide services like jetting services, you know, I have a vendor that I've been using for 20 years that has probably been at the property, any property that I've ever asked him to go to, he's been to. He's like, oh yeah, they've got problems in building 5. They've got a bubble here. Utilizing those services and then helping them train our maintenance team to be more efficient and more effective is so, so important.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned vendors, but you must mean supplier partners.
I'm sorry. I do mean so. Oh, don't. I hope no one listened up until this point. This is the time I change.
You know, you'd mentioned the KMT training, and I know that HAA has a partnership or a program where they work with Goodwill Industries. And they have job fairs where you can go, and we've done that and actually hired someone who's still with us today after a few years.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, so it's,
and it's important too. I think sometimes it's better, and not better, but it's a different perspective to hire someone, send them to Nicole for 2 weeks, you know, program them with all of the things that I want done, and then get them on site. So that way, you know, you can teach them the right way, because it's much harder to break those bad habits. You know, if you've had a maintenance person that's ever been at a property that had no money, they're very resourceful and they can get a lot of things done. But then they take that knowledge to another property that the expectation is different, and you're seeing things that you never thought you would see before. And, you know, that's a struggle to help them unlearn that when you need something, you need to ask. A good example is we took over a property that had aluminum wiring. Mm-hmm. And I had looked at some of them and they said, oh, all the aluminum wiring's been taken care of. And I would take off the plates and I saw that they were non-Kohler devices. And so from aluminum wiring, there's two ways to do it. One is pigtailing and the other is a Kohler device, right? And so the cheapest one is generally Kohler, but some think it's acceptable or not. That's neither here nor there. The bottom line is that someone at the property, the maintenance and the manager, had not communicated that this was necessary. And so when they were replacing the receptacles, they were replacing them with non-Kohler devices. So over a 5-year period, you can imagine what that can do to a property that was within compliance. And then you come up for a purchase or a refi, and I'm opening up, some receptacles have them and some don't. What else can I do? I've got to audit every single outlet and figure out which ones have them and not. And so it ended up where half of the outlets, you know, 25% of them needed to be replaced because they took the order to the manager. The manager said that receptacle is too expensive. I'm going to order the cheaper one. And so when I went into the maintenance shop, the box was from Maintenance Supply and said, this is what you need on the box label, but the items inside of the box were non-Kohler devices because of that lack of communication and training. So from an operations perspective, I think creating a manual, if you will, or a sheet for every property is important.
All right. Well, we are going to be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of down and dirty maintenance hacks. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, Nicole Curled, Director of Multifamily of Lexington Group, and Izzy Garza, National Account Manager with Maintenance Supply Headquarters. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So let's talk about the actual hacks, Stephanie. What are some of the actual hacks that our listeners can possibly incorporate on their property?
Yeah, you know, so I have two things that I think are kind of misconceptions that would help. And Nicole and I talked about those earlier, and then I'll kind of pass it to her. But there's products that can serve you in multiple ways. They can serve you in insurance deductions. There's a product that's called Fire Avert, and then an Auto Stop, which we recommend every asset that we take over. That is a fire suppression device. And so the long and short of it is that like something like 90% of fires on apartments are caused by stovetop fires that people have, either leaving something on or walking away from it. And so even if you have a sprinkler building that's monitored, you know, then if we have this fire and we don't have this device that either turns off the stove or one of the items goes underneath the vent hood and drops chemicals onto the fire to suppress it immediately. Those are small damage problems, right? If this happens, then maybe I've burned my stove. But if that happens and I don't have something to suppress the fire, then I have a sprinkler system that goes off that could possibly cause water damage to the whole place. So making sure that you have those items and that you put them in your budget, and then communicating that to your insurance company could provide you with a deduction on your insurance. So make sure that as you're taking over an asset, or even if you're walking an asset and starting a new one, that you know about these products that are available. The Fire Avert was developed by a firefighter, and it goes in line with the smoke detector, and then there's the other one that goes on underneath the grill. So that's one that we use all the time. And then the other that I think is kind of, and it's a misnomer, if you will, is the air filter changes. You know, we have some people that say, oh, every month I give my residents an air filter, and they change their air filter every month when they come to pay their rent. And actually, it would be okay to change the air filter every quarter. And so it actually works better when there's a little bit of stuff on it so that it sticks to the items a little bit better. So those are kind of small ways that you can make sure that things are running differently in your property. Nicole, you had a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of the fire avert, I think the biggest thing with those is even if you have a sprinkler system, I want to piggyback on that because I've had a situation in a high rise where one sprinkler head went off in the kitchen, only one. Mm-hmm. The fire damage in and of itself was less than $5,000. The water damage resulting from that one sprinkler head going off was over $500,000.
Oh my God.
It was on the 7th floor. It went through the elevator shafts. The elevators were damaged from the water. It flooded all of the apartments below all the way to the lobby. Mm. So sprinklers are great because they do help us with fire situations, but water damage is just as damaging, if not more so.
Yes, hello, Imelda and Harvey, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, hello.
What's the cost of a fire avert for a unit? Is there...
It depends, but they're about $80 the fire averts, $80-$85, depending on how many that you're purchasing. And there is some installation training that needs to be done, but mm-hmm. The fire stops or auto stops, those are $45 or $50, yeah, for two of them. And most of our suppliers, Maintenance Supply, sells them. You can order them directly from them and get them installed, and they're quite easy.
That's definitely something that can be trained and done in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking a little bit in one of the breaks about warranties and as a hack.
Definitely. I think a lot of people don't realize that on major items such as the compressor in a condenser unit, that comes with a 5-year warranty. But if you go onto the manufacturer's website and register the equipment, many of them give you additional warranty for no additional cost. And a lot of them, you can get it up to another 5 years. So, I mean, a 10-year warranty on a compressor, mm-hmm. I mean, that's extremely cost-effective.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. The question I was going to ask is, and then in the software that we were talking about in the first segment, does it say, is there a place to put the fact that you have a 10-year warranty so that if it fails after 2 years, someone can go back and say, hey, we have a warranty, we need to, or is there a different way of handling that?
Most of our softwares that are the most popular used on our properties have that capability.
Yeah, they'll have, as long as you, they won't necessarily say, like, there's not an input, if you will, does this have a 5-year warranty or did you call? But the level of communication with notes or with document uploads, if you develop a system where you consistently do it the same way, you could easily track that in a notes one, print out a notes capability, a notes report, and be able to see all the notes that were tied into that asset. Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, we say garbage in, garbage out, right? So whatever the expectation is on what I need to record and what I need to do is going to follow through with the third or fourth manager you have there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was the point, is that 2 or 3 years later, if your maintenance staff is turned over and you've the property's changed hands, mm-hmm. What records are there that are, you know, that are available?
So and what if you change management companies or you change ownership?
Right.
That software information doesn't necessarily come with you. So that's all a struggle, right? Mm-hmm. That's all a challenge. So sometimes Excel is not a bad thing, but also asking for those reports that you could, you know, when we take over a property, we try to get maintenance reports and those things so that we can have that data. And then it's, you know, trying to go through it and figure it out. But, you know, if we focus on kind of the time we have it and making sure we maximize, then you may not be able to recreate the wheel, but you can certainly log what you have in that time frame.
Exactly.
You had some other hacks, I think.
Yeah, there's a few. you know, it's just simple things. If you have a burn mark on a laminate countertop that has not been resurfaced, you can use a little bit of Comet and some fine sandpaper. I stress fine.
Mm-hmm.
And just lightly, you know, rub that in and the burns, it'll take it down and you're fine. If you're finding that you have a lot of knife marks and hacks, even on a resurfaced countertop, it's usually on the side of the garbage disposal. And so that's because that's where people are cutting. You can put an acrylic cutting board. You can glue that down to the countertop and protect the countertop. If you have a strip screw, you put a rubber band in it before you put the screwdriver in it. And that's going to help you grip that screw so you can get it out. You know, a lot of times, especially in Hollywood lighting fixtures, those, they get stuck in there because there's humidity from showers and et cetera. And so sometimes the light bulb gets stuck in there and you try to get it out and it breaks. Okay. Use a potato, put it in there, unscrew it that way. You don't have to get your hands cut with glass or anything like that.
I'm getting some potatoes.
I think a lot of times we tend to take shortcuts and, you know, really the best hack is to do it right the first time. We don't have time to do it right the first time, but we certainly don't have time to do it wrong twice. So it's really important that we do have the correct people handling the correct service requests and that the training is in place. If you have a guy that's really good with plumbing, don't send him on an HVAC call. Make sure he's the one doing the plumbing calls. But, you know, there's other things that you can do. Like one of the things that I like to train for make readies is that you take every small item that's in there. You take all the switch plate covers, all the outlet covers, smaller globes, even HVAC registers. You put them all in the dishwasher and you run the dishwasher. Now, all that stuff is clean and you know your dishwasher works. And I've partially prepped for the paint crew. Okay, so I don't believe in taping off a switch plate cover. It comes off the wall before you paint.
Right.
So you kind of tackle a bunch of things at once and you're moving on to another, you know, another issue.
And you're setting your painters up for success, right? Because so often they blame the painter and you're like, well, what did you do to prep them? Like they're a vendor. You work for us. And and if you let one time go by that you accept that that behavior, then the next turn is another problem. It's just like having bad sheetrock repair, right? You have one blemish on the wall, then the next guy that comes in that fixes a problem next to it is like, oh, well, look, that's fine. They accept this performance, so I'll just let it go. And your B asset becomes a C asset in a couple years.
Right. I think some small things that you could do that are cheap, you know, if you're if you have a resident that's telling you that the toilet's leaking, but every time you go, you can't find a problem, get a packet of Kool-Aid. You put it in the tank.
Then you know.
Yeah. It's just a matter of you have to understand, this is where training comes in. You have to understand the theory and the whole principle and concept of how a system works to properly troubleshoot it. You know, if you're just educated on, well, if this is the symptom, then this is the repair. You don't really know why. If that doesn't work, what's the next step?
I think it's being curious too. Right. Like one of the things we train for and we hire for is you have to be flexible because you have to be able to do multiple things and you have to be curious about why something's not working. Like, why is the water pooling in this area only? Why is this resident continuously complaining? And if you're doing your right job of making sure you're logging things, maybe you have a consistent toilet that's backing up and no kids live there now, but maybe kids have lived there the last couple years. Well, I bet you there's probably a brush or some Legos in that toilet that no one's ever found.
Hot Wheels.
Right? Hot Wheels that are lodged kind of the wrong way. So being curious about how things work and having that training, I think, is important.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters in just a minute. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of down and dirty maintenance hacks. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, Nicole Curl, director of multifamily for Lexington Group, and Izzy Garza, national account manager with Maintenance Supply Headquarters. Izzy, during the break, we were talking about something that you felt was an important topic to discuss when we're talking about maintenance, and that's shop setup. Discuss that a little bit.
So I get a lot of requests from companies about, you know, coming in and saying, hey, listen, we want to control what we do more as far as what we spend and our inventory. And it is it's never really discussed. It's actually never really talked about as much. And it's something that we really do need to talk about, is setting your per shop to a point where it's, you know, the inventory is correct. You know where everything is at. Product is where it needs to be. You don't have product here in one spot and then the other side of the building hits here. You kind of can manage it to a point where you know what you have in your inventory. A lot of times companies, you know, will spend product that they don't need just simply because they can't locate it. They can't find it. You know, I bought a box of air filters last week. I don't know where it's at. Turns out it's on the other side of the building or another building, and they end up buying another one. So we talk about hacks. Obviously, we want to make sure that we're being wise stewards and we're smart about what we're spending, and that we always have our shop set up to a point where we know what we have and we can confidently buy product because we know we need it, not because I can't find it.
Is that something that Maintenance Supply Headquarters helps someone with as far as giving guidance? Or
We definitely can provide training. We have trainers. Nicole is somebody that we would use, obviously, and there's other people that we could use in different markets to kind of tell you their experiences as far as setting up shop and what is the right practice and what is maybe a wrong practice. At the same time, it keeps it consistent from the portfolio, from one asset to another. They have this particular practice and how they set up their shops. Now, every shop is different, as you and I both know. You know, you go to one site, you may only have maybe 800 square feet where you can put material, and then you go to the next site, they have 2,000 square feet. Everyone's different. You have to maximize the space that you have, as well as work with it and determine what's right for that property.
Yeah, but from the same standpoint, any maintenance person, if they're, no matter the property they're on, they should be able to walk in a shop
and know where stuff is at.
Easily identify what they need and where it is. And, you know, your min-max rules are, you know, minimums are this, we have to have this many on hand at all times. Mm-hmm. Your max is, we really don't want to carry more than this. Now those will vary. That'll vary based on how your budget is structured. It based on seasonal items and things like that. But it's an effective tool to, if you're managing your inventory, you're managing your budget. Mm-hmm. If you're not managing your inventory, you're being very, very poor steward, as the word that he used, of the money that your owners have trusted you to manage. I mean, you're managing a multi-million dollar asset. You know, we do have a lot of regulation in our industry, and people don't realize how regulated we are, but we have our own flexibility to be able to go in there and do the best that we can. And this is definitely a tool to do so.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons why this topic came up is because it is so frequently left behind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People leave because of bad maintenance, but what are we doing to empower our maintenance teams to be able to get what they need within reason and do their job effectively? And I think sometimes the office team just lets that go. You know, you yell at them if they're ordering too much, but did you go in and figure out why they can't figure out where the stuff is?
Right.
And did you provide them necessary time to get the things organized that they need to get organized? You know, if you come into a property and it's a train wreck, you know, it's going to take some time. You know, it's going to take some time to get that shop and get everything out and kind of start fresh. And so you want to empower your team, but you also want to be able to understand when there's a problem and when they're going to need more support or more tools. And, you know, partners are a way to do that. And then just investing the time and being committed to making sure that the maintenance is managed in a way that's effective. I think it's forgotten because people think that it's not a, you know, when I lease apartments, I can see a result and I can add one more lease to the rent roll. And I think it's hard to quantify immediately the investment in good maintenance systems. That's more of a long-term investment. You're going to see that over time by better management, more more engaged employees, less service requests, more effectiveness. And so that that quantification is a longer process to identify.
Well, I think you definitely need to be selective with who your partners are to make sure that you're working with a partner that is willing to help you, that's actually partnering with you. You know, in my history, one of the main reasons that I have partnered with Izzy and his coworkers and his company is because of that level of service that comes along with the product. It's not so much about, I mean, we can, you know, all buy a quirky flapper anywhere, right. You know, but what comes with that? And knowing that that partner, when I place an order and I have one PO, it's all coming from one place and it's coming in one delivery. I'm not getting three invoices and three separate deliveries, which make an accounting nightmare, but it's also a tracking nightmare because we're set up, our shops are set up when our guys are set up on a certain type of a schedule. So if a third delivery comes at, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it goes to the office. The office is going to put it back in the package room with the resident stuff, and we never see it.
Yeah. And I think from that perspective, when you're partnering, it's important to, you know, Izzy and the teams at multiple supplier partners understand the new regulations and legislation as well. And so as new things come out from the city, from the state, from the county that we have to abide by, you know, smoke detectors is one that's coming up on the on the list. You know, when we get a blip from the apartment association that says this is required, Izzy's my first call. I'm like, hey, you need to make sure that whatever I'm doing is in line with this. And next order, please help me change my stuff. And so he's also one of the ones, or your apartment suppliers are the ones that can help you with that. If you're not involved with the association, you're not involved with the legislation, you don't know what's coming, relying on those partners to be your experts is important from a habitability standpoint, from a code enforcement.
That's a good point. I mean, our responsibility as a supplier partner is to inform you, educate you, because we get these all the time, that there's this new law, new code that's coming in. And then for us as a vendor, we're looking at saying, well, this specific code, what products that we have that actually apply to that do meet those standards so that, you know, when you do ask about it, hey, I know exactly what you need and this is why. So yeah, it's good for us to inform you. It's also good on our end to be informed, to continue to gain knowledge as far as the situation is and what products do we have that fit that particular need for a company.
Yeah. Well,
it also matters in terms of budgeting.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw in 2019, you know, we can't get corded window lines, so that increases prices, and we know that it's a cause of code. It's not maintenance supply went up 20%.
Right.
Let's talk about code and what's going on in the world. I know, Nicole, you were talking about a program you're working on right now, and we have about 2.5 minutes to discuss this. It may be the topic of a future show.
There we go.
But let's talk about it for just a few minutes.
Well, I think that in the city of Houston, one of the most relevant code enforcement changes is that in habitability. The habitability ordinance and code have been in effect for years, but they didn't have the department built up with the proper amount of people and infrastructure to enforce it. And so what's happened is over the past years, you know, it's been kind of random that it's every 5 to 7 years thereabouts, and some people have them and some people don't. That has completely changed. They have staffed up to the point that now it is going to be in direct link to the ordinance itself. It is going to be every 4 years, and it should be every property no matter the year of construction. Now, it's not like the Olympics. It's not an every 4 year thing. It's a fluctuating 4 years, but it is coming and the enforcement is there. And so they are pushing harder on some of their requirements.
And that's going to mean they could get notice of inspector showing up, or they may not get notice of inspector showing up.
Correct. There is a notice that goes out. The problem is those notices are to the owner of record. So if there has been a change and nobody is notified, or it hasn't gone, it had enough time to get through the whole system, the notice is going to go to someone else.
Yeah, or the owner gets notice and the management company never hears about
it. Yes, exactly.
Or they hear about it the day before, right?
Exactly.
And I think, you know, managing to those guidelines is important. If you're going to take over a property, if you have a low performing asset, or you have a C or D product, making sure that the changes that you make are in compliance with that habitability. So you're getting ahead of the game, instead of you make all these changes and you realize that you've made them and they don't meet the standards that you need, you know, lighting or dumpster enclosures. You know, those are kind of ones that are we say we're going to do these really quickly because it's going to make a change. But are they in line with what is going to be enforced at a later standpoint with the habitability? So understanding those, getting a list, getting the guidelines, and then managing or renovating to that is important.
Right. The last thing you want to do is purchase a new asset, spend $200,000 painting it, and then get a habitability inspection and find out you have $100,000 in electrical problems that you never addressed.
And you had mentioned siding was one.
Siding's a big one right now. They're pushing back if it's not hardy and it's not covered. And like over the years on some of the deferred maintenance, people put paint up because it was aesthetic, not because they were trying to protect the substrate. And so they didn't really prep. They just wanted a color change. Well, that paint's going to peel because the surface wasn't prepped right. And they're looking at that as delamination or bad siding, and they want it replaced.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about this for another hour, but let's talk a little bit. But I want to give everybody a chance to always ask the question, how'd you get into the business? And tell us a little bit about your company. And if someone wants to reach you, how can they do that? Izzy, do you want to start?
Yeah. Well, I'm the national account manager here based in Houston with Baited Supply Headquarters. I started in the business about 2005, 2006, around there. I was actually started in a paint company. And so I would run these deliveries and, you know, to apartments, to sell, you know, selling paint to them and all that. But over the years, you know, we got a chance to, go into the business. And I eventually ended up at Maintenance Supply Headquarters, where they've been just a fabulous company to work for. We're owned by Lowe's. We're a national company that specifically caters to the multifamily industry in respect to MRO. If there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. My email is izzy.garza@supplyhq.com. Look forward to hearing from you all and appreciate the opportunity to be on your show today.
Okay. Nicole?
Well, I literally fell into the industry on accident. I was actually in a completely different field. I went to school for anatomy and physiology, and I trained in the NFL for 4 years. I left that industry very disenchanted and didn't want to live in my mom's basement. So somebody said, if you work for an apartment community, get a discount on rent. And I'm like, sold. I went and got a job as a leasing agent, moved my way up through management, switched over to maintenance, switched over to capital improvements. And now I oversee all maintenance and capital improvement type things. I've had up to 25,000 units in my portfolio. Now I'm doing consulting just to help owners who don't have the financial resources to hire a person like me, so that I can come in and help them save money.
How can someone reach you?
Email is ncurl, C-U-R-L, at lgidallas.com.
Okay. Stephanie?
Awesome. My name is Stephanie Graves. I have a company called Q10 Property Advisors. We do third-party management, consulting, education, all that good stuff. So Stephanie at Q10PA.com.
Well, thank you guys for being here. Like I said, we could do another hour on this, and we may at some point in time. It's been a very good conversation. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.